what happens. There we go. No? Check one, two, check one, two. All right. Test, test, test. All righty. Well, I want to start just by reading to you a verse. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read you John 16:33. Says this. This is one of the promises of God. You've probably seen books published that are just filled with those promises verses. Have you seen those books, the promises of God? And you just get all the good ones, right? We collect all the verses that we like and we put them in one book. This is one of the promises of the Lord that we have. John 16:33 says this. In this world you will have tribulation. Now, you don't normally see that verse in the Promises of God little publication, do you? In this world, you will have tribulation. I'll read this in some other translations. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have suffering in this world. That's a particularly good one, don't you think? That's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Nobody wants to read that version now that I've read that. The NLT says this. In this world, you will have many trials and sorrows. This is a promise from Jesus to his disciples. Now, this is not something that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. This is not something that Jesus spoke to sinners who were turning their back on God. Jesus turned and looked into the eyes of his followers, of the people who had left everything to follow him. And he said this, in this world, you will have trials. How many in here, by show of hands, have experienced that promise of the Lord being fulfilled in your life? That's not one of those verses that you have to stand in faith for, is it? Anybody remember the song? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. See, you find yourself standing on that promise and you go, oh, I'm just going to get over here. We don't want to stand on this promise. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus promised this. You can take it to the bank. You can rest assured you're going to experience this. Here are some other words for the word trial. Trouble, worry, anxiety, burden, affliction, ordeal, tribulation, adversity, hardship, tragedy, trauma, setback, difficulty, problem, suffering, distress, misery, unhappiness, sadness, woe, grief, or pain. Aren't you glad you came to church on Thanksgiving Sunday? Jesus says, in this world, you will experience these things. You will experiencing these things. But being a follower of Christ does not make you immune to trials. It just changes the way that you respond to trials. See, the thing about living a life of faith and walking after Jesus isn't to figure out how you can live life without trials. It's about figuring out how to respond when trials come. And this is just as important now as it was 2,000 years ago. We're studying through the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we read about all sorts of trials and tribulations that the early church went through. And in case you haven't been watching the news, and in case you haven't seen what's going on in Western society today, the church is being put on trial. The church is experiencing tribulation and attack. And the eyes of the world are looking to see how we're going to respond. Now more than ever, we need to be so careful how we respond to our trials and tribulations. So this morning, we're going to take a look at the experience of the Apostle Paul as he stood trial time and time again, as we read in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Acts in chapter 22. And this morning is my 27th message in this series on the book of Acts, 27th message. And have you been enjoying it so far? Well, what else are you going to say, right? That's kind of an awkward question for the preacher to ask. I've been enjoying it so far. Through most of the series, what I've done is I've tried to focus on a portion of a chapter or one chapter or at the most a chapter and a half. And we're going to do something unique this morning. It's Thanksgiving. And so my present to you is that I'm going to preach from five chapters this morning. Speed preaching. Acts chapter 22. And the reason that I'm doing that is because Acts chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 is all about Paul standing trial over the same singular issue that takes place, that took place in Acts chapter 21. And so let me set things up here. Paul has just arrived in Jerusalem, and we spoke last week about all the tensions that Paul experienced as he made his way into Jerusalem. So he finds himself there. He knows he's in enemy territory. He knows that he's going to experience some persecution and some pressure. And sure enough, once he gets there, he meets with James and the elders of the church, and they bring him up to speed on some of the issues that they've been dealing with. They say, hey, Paul, there's some struggle on behalf of the Jewish believers because they're hearing you preach to the non-Jews, telling them that they don't need to pay attention to the law anymore. In other words, you don't need to become a Jew in order to become a Christian, which is true. And the Jews and the leaders at Jerusalem agreed with that. You don't have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. But they were concerned because they thought that maybe Paul had forgotten that he was a Jew. See, Paul's still a Jew, and they were still Jewish, and so there was some concern that Paul had actually abandoned the law himself. Not just telling non-Jewish people not to worry about it, but that he himself wasn't worrying about it. And so they said, hey, here's what we think you should do. We think you should go into the temple and go through a cleansing ritual in order to remind the Jewish Christians that you're still a Jew, you still abide by the law. And so Paul does this. And he spends 7 days in the temple doing this ceremonial cleansing. And just as Paul is leaving the temple, some Jews from Asia come and they see him just as he's exiting from the temple. And this is kind of like that moment where the bad part of the movie just comes on and your mom walks into the room. Isn't it always the case? Like, no, this wasn't happening before you came here. But it's always mom comes into the room right when the bad part of the movie starts, right? So this is what happens. Just as Paul is leaving the temple, the Jews from Asia arrive and they're like, wait a minute, Paul. We thought that you were telling people that we don't need to abide by the law anymore. And so they make a big scene out of this that ends up putting Paul on trial for what he did. They're calling him a hypocrite, and they even accuse him of bringing a non-Jewish person into the temple, which he didn't do. And so they stir up the crowd, and in Acts chapter 22, Paul speaks to an angry crowd of Jews who are determined to see things end badly. So Acts chapter 22, we'll start reading here, verse 1. This is what Paul first says. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. So Paul is beginning his defense. Verse 3, he says this. I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them, I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. So Paul stands trial, and the very first thing that comes out of his mouth is that he begins to tell his story. He talks about his upbringing. He talks about being trained according to the Jewish law. He starts telling his story. And then we continue here, verse 6. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. Listen to that phrase. As I was on my way. Every person in this room has an as I was on my way story, don't you? Where you were on your way, doing your own thing, living your own life, trying to just live for you when God got your attention. We could spend the whole day just going around the room, having everybody share their as I was on the way story. This is Paul telling his story. As I was on the way, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ himself that changed his life forever. As Paul was standing on trial, he didn't even address the details. He doesn't start talking about what he was doing in the temple. He doesn't start defending himself as to why he was in the temple. He doesn't even address the lie that they told that he was there with a non-Jewish person. Paul doesn't address any of those things. All that he does is he begins to tell his story. And he continues to share about how when he was on his way to Damascus, he saw this bright light appear and the voice of Jesus calling him. And this voice of Jesus called him to go and visit a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias tells him something. I want you to listen to his words. Acts 22, verse 15. Ananias says this, "For you will be a witness for him," Jesus, "to everyone of what you have seen and heard." Ananias says, "Paul, Jesus met with you on your way to Damascus because he has an assignment for you. You will be a witness." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Ananias is talking to you too. You will be a witness." You don't have to have heard a voice from heaven to hear this. The moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, this became your call. You will be a witness. Everywhere that you go, Paul, you're going to go and you are going to be a witness to the things that I have done, to the things that you have seen. This is your assignment. And so here's Paul in Jerusalem, standing trial, literally being a witness for Jesus. He tells his story. And they listen to Paul for a while, but eventually they can't take it any longer. Verse 22 says this. "Up to this word, they listened to him, and then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live.'" They got so frustrated hearing from Paul, hearing his story, hearing his testimony, that they eventually said, "No more. We don't want to hear it anymore. We just want to see you dead." And so the tribune ordered Paul to be brought to the barracks where they were planning on getting the truth out of him by beating him with a whip. And so they bring him down and they set him up so that they can start to torture him in order to get the truth out of him as to what was happening in the temple. And Paul says, "Is it legal for you to do this to a Roman citizen?" See, they didn't know that Paul was Roman. And so they knew now that they had to put him through a proper trial. And so they were forced to send Paul before the Sanhedrin in order for him to stand trial once again. And so in Acts chapter 23, Paul begins to give his defense before the Sanhedrin, and he manages to get them so worked up that we read this. Acts 23, verse 10. "And when the dissension became violent," things got so heated, they got violent. "When the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn into pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and bring him into the barracks." Verse 11 says this, "The following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Jesus spoke to Paul and says, "You've testified to the facts in Jerusalem, now I want to tell you that you're actually going to also testify to the facts in Rome." Notice the word testify. What facts did Paul testify to? About all the details of what happened in the temple, about whether or not he should have been doing a ceremonial cleansing? No. The facts that he testified to were his story of meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. He says, "You're going to continue to be used to testify." Everywhere that Paul went, what did he do? He testified. Why? Because he's called to be a witness. So what does that mean? Everywhere that you and I go, we are supposed to testify because we are called to be a witness. And when you witness for Jesus, you know what he does? He blesses you. You know what else happens? More trials come. When you testify for Jesus, he blesses you, and yet more trials come. And this was the case for Paul. If you keep reading through Acts 23, we meet up with a group of Jews who were so overwhelmingly frustrated with Paul that they all took a vow to not eat and not drink anything until they saw Paul dead. Now, when you take a vow to not eat food and not drink water until you do something, you're pretty intent on making it happen, wouldn't you say? Because you don't plan on failing, because if you fail, you don't eat, and if you don't eat, you die. And so they were so intent on seeing Paul killed, they said, "Listen, we're not going to eat food, we're not going to drink water until we see Paul dead." And Paul's nephew, thank God for family, Paul's nephew overheard this plan, and he went before the tribune, went before the Sanhedrin, and said, this is what's happening. They're planning an ambush. They're planning to kill my uncle, Paul. And so they managed to get Paul away, and they send him to Caesarea so that he can stand trial before Felix, the governor. And so, in Acts chapter 24, Paul stands trial before Felix, governor of Caesarea. And after hearing both sides of the story, Felix, the governor, he decides that he doesn't want anything to do with this case because he doesn't want to declare Paul guilty because he hasn't seen him be guilty of anything. He doesn't want to declare him to be innocent because he knows that even though it seems like he's innocent, that the people aren't going to be happy with him if he lets him go free. And so he just delays the trial. He delays the trial. He puts off the verdict. He puts off the verdict. He puts off the verdict. He keeps Paul in prison. He keeps Paul in prison. He puts off the verdict. And 2 years go by. 2 years go by. Can you imagine this? 2 years go by. You're Paul. Imagine this. You haven't been declared guilty of anything. You're just waiting for the verdict. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. Not yet condemned. And so Felix, the governor, is succeeded. 2 years go by, and Felix, he gets reassigned. He passes away. We're not really sure exactly what happened, but the scriptures tell us that he was succeeded by a new governor named Porcius Festus, which is a name that is a baby name available for those of you who are expecting a child and open to suggestions. Porcius Festus. You could call him Porky. And so in Acts chapter 25, Paul stands trial once again. After 2 years of defending himself to Felix, now he's got to defend himself to Porky. And when Paul could see that he wasn't going to get a favorable verdict, he appeals to Caesar. He says, listen, this isn't going anywhere. I'm already in Caesar's land. I just want Caesar to hear my case. And so Porky says, you've appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. So Paul is brought back into the barracks, awaiting his trial before Caesar. And so he's already stood trial before the Jews in Jerusalem. He's then moved into Caesarea, where he's stand trial before Felix. Now he's got Porcius Festus. And now he's on his way to go and see Caesar. You see how painful this experience is, how long this experience is. And now as he's waiting to see Caesar, we get somebody else that comes into the scene. King Agrippa and his sister Bernice come and visit Porky for dinner. And so, for the rest of your life now, you're going to read Porky when you read this verse. You're welcome, by the way. And so King Agrippa and Bernice come, and Porcius is so interested in Paul's case that late one night he's talking to King Agrippa about Paul and this man who seems innocent, but he doesn't want to declare him guilty, and he's not sure what to do, and he's been in prison for the last 2 years, and now he's on his way to go see Caesar. And King Agrippa says, I want to hear from this man for myself. And so now Paul has to stand trial again before somebody else. He's got to start all over again giving his defense as to why he does not deserve to be imprisoned or put to death. Anybody else here just about ready to hear the end of the story? Like, come on. Part of the major reason that I decided to preach all five chapters in one this morning is so that we could get a little bit of a painful experience on how this is just a never-ending trial for Paul, going before one person to another. He's forced to go from one trial to another trial to another trial to another trial to another trial. And I am here hoping to encourage somebody this morning who feels like you're going through another trial and another trial and another trial and another trial. Because through it all, God never left Paul. And through it all, God will never leave you. Here's the temptation. When trials go on for too long, we start to wonder, where's God? We understand, oh, Pastor Tim, I understand that we've got to go through trials and tribulations. That's what Jesus says. I understand that. But I thought that when I gave my life to Jesus, the trials would be shorter. I understand that I'm going to have some bad days and maybe a bad week, but come on, I've been having bad months and bad years. There's something that happens in our mind when we go through a trial for too long. We think, God, where are you? God never left Paul. He'll never leave you. He'll see you through. Don't ever think that just because you're still in the battle that God's not there fighting for you. Don't ever think that just because you're still fighting that all hope is lost, because God's with you through it all. So here's Paul. He's on trial once again, and this time before King Agrippa. And he's on trial before someone who's not even going to give a verdict. He's just visiting Porky. He still has to go and stand trial before Caesar. And yet he's dragged out. He's got to give another defense. Let's read a little bit about what Paul says. We are now in Acts chapter 26, verse 13. This is what Paul's saying. At midday, O king, I saw on the way to Damascus, this is what he's talking about, on the way, a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard the voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it? We just heard this in Acts chapter 22 when Paul was standing trial before the Jews at Jerusalem. Paul begins to tell his story. He shares about his upbringing, being a Jew, being one who hated the Jews, or hated Jesus and hated his followers, and how he got permission to go and take them and bind them and bring them to be tried in their courts, and how on the way he had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life forever. See, you notice that Paul's defense isn't changing. What's he do? Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you my story. Over the past few weeks, I've been reading through these last 10 chapters of Acts, trying to just get the story straight in my mind and praying over how the Lord wanted me to preach this to you. And I'm reading through Acts chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26, and how Paul defended himself on trial. And I kept praying and asking God, God, what do you want me to see here? What's here for me to be able to share with the church? And I spent all day reading, praying, thinking. And at the end of the day, got in my car, and I had about this many thoughts. God, what's here? What's here for me to preach? And I get in my car, and I begin to drive home, and I hear this. It was almost a whisper, but it was a little bit louder than that. It was just the soft voice. I heard the Lord say this: the testimony is in the trial. And my brain began going back through Acts chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, how Paul, every time he stood on trial trying to defend, he wasn't really defending what happened in the temple. He wasn't really defending whether what he did or didn't do was right or it wasn't right. All that Paul did was share his testimony. Every time he was put on trial, Paul just shared his testimony. And I heard it again: the testimony is in the trial. See, you might not be on trial standing before a court of law, but you're probably going through a trial right now. And this is God's word to you this morning. Your testimony is in the trial. It's in the trial. See, we want to wait until we're out of the trial to have a testimony. We want to wait. We want to be able to see how things come on the other side. And I want to encourage you this morning that you have a testimony while you're in the trial. While you're going through what you're going through. See, what Paul did was he looked back at what God did for him last time. See, when you're going through a trial, one of the best things you can do is remind yourself of the last time that God was faithful to you. He says, well, let me tell you about a time that I met with God himself on the road to Damascus. He changed my life. He changed my life. The testimony is in the trial. I thought back to Jesus and how Jesus, he was no stranger to standing on trial. And what came out of Jesus when he stood on trial? It was his testimony. He hung on the cross. His testimony came through the trial. Paul's testimony came through the trial. So why would we think that we would have any other way to proclaim our testimony but through a trial? Now, I'm not here today to tell you that God puts you in trials and that God puts suffering on you and that God's will for you is to put you in tough situations. You got enough preachers telling you that. Those are all lies. God doesn't put suffering on his people. God doesn't put trials in your life to make you stronger. God's not the one attacking you. But when you find yourself in the trial, he's the one helping you. He's the one who's going to hold your hand and take you through. I want to read once again this list of words. You could find yourself in a trial or trouble, worry, anxiety, burden, affliction, ordeal, tribulation, adversity, hardship, tragedy, trauma, setback, difficulty, problem, suffering, distress, misery, unhappiness, sadness, woe, grief, or pain. When you find yourself in one of those situations, guess what? Your testimony is in the trial. Your testimony is right there while you're going through it. Is the opportunity for you to proclaim the goodness of God. So don't look at your trial and think, God, why did you let this happen to me? Look at your trial and think, God, I thank you that this is what you're going to see me through. This diagnosis is just another opportunity for me to remind the medical field that there is a miracle-working power that is beyond them. This lawsuit that's been brought against me is just another opportunity for me to speak about your faithfulness to my accusing party. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 26, verse 6. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers. When you stand on trial, church, let it be based on the hope that you have in the promises of God. When you are going through a trial, I want you to have hope. Paul says, I stand on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers. When you go through a trial, to be able to stand on the promises of God. And you can go ahead and stand on John 16, 33, because I only read you part of the verse. Jesus looked at his disciples, his followers, and said, in this world, you will have trials, you will have troubles, you will have persecution, you will have suffering, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You can stand on that promise for you. You find Psalm 37, 25 that says, I have been young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You stand on that word. You remind yourself of the last time that God saved you, the last time he healed you, the last time he delivered you, the last time he blessed you. That's really what David did when he was facing Goliath. Remember David? He said, I, with God's help, I killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. What was David doing? He was reminding himself of the last time that God delivered him. And if God could do it then, guess what? He'll do it again. David was reminding himself, God was faithful to me. If God could be faithful to me in that impossible circumstance, then God could be faithful to me in this. It was while Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being thrown into the fiery furnace, it was in that moment that their testimony was proclaimed. Because that's when Jesus showed up. You ever think about that? If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get thrown in the fire, Jesus wouldn't have shown up? See, it's while you're in the trial that you've got your greatest testimony. It was while Noah was building a boat in a time in history when the earth had never seen rain. He was preaching his testimony, declaring his story. And it was while Abraham was looking at the stars in the sky and the grains of sand in the seaside that God said, you're going to have as many descendants as that. He's 75 years old, no kids. He's 80 years old, no kids. He's 85 years old, no kids. He's 90 years old, no kids. He's 95 years old, no kids. He's 99 year olds, no kids. It's while you're in the trial. That's where you find your testimony. That's where you find your story. So don't be overcome by your trials, by your present circumstances. Instead, proclaim at the top of your lungs your testimony. Look in the face of your circumstances and look into the face of the enemy and say, look what the Lord has done. See, the enemy wants to put guilt on you. You just say, hey, remember last time I sinned? God forgave me. Remember last time I messed up? God covered for me. Remember last time I was in a struggle and in a situation? God set me free. All you got to do is just look back at his faithfulness. And you know that he'll see you through. Your testimony's in your trial. And so if you're here this morning and if you feel like you have a testimony, if you feel that you don't have a testimony, if you feel that you haven't had that as I was on my way encounter with God, where God spoke to you, set you free, changed your life, if you don't feel that you've had that, then today is your day. You may be going through a trial right now. You may not be going through a trial right now. But let me tell you that the greatest trial you will ever go through is life without Jesus. The greatest trial anyone could ever experience is life without Jesus. Because once you have him, you know he's there to take care of you, to see you through it all. So that when you have storms in your life, you can praise God in the midst of your storm. Not because of your storm, but in the midst of it. Thank you, Lord. I want you to hear it, the soft voice that I heard when I finally stopped thinking and just let God speak. Close your eyes with me. I want you to hear it. Your testimony is in your trial. God's going to use you. He's going to use you in the good days, but he's going to use you in the bad days. Your testimony's in your trial. Go ahead and just think right now. Think back to the last time God answered a prayer. And tell yourself, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He set you free before, he'll do it again. He forgave you before, he'll do it again. He provided for you before, he'll do it again. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet together this morning. And if there's anyone here who is not given their life to Jesus Christ, today is the day for you to say, Jesus, take my life. Take my life and do something with it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand upon each and every person here this morning. Lord, I thank you that whatever they're facing right now, whether they're not facing a whole lot of difficulty or whether they are in such a difficult moment right now, Lord, that they can't even imagine how they're going to get out. Lord, I pray right now that you would give them hope, that you would give them grace, Lord God, to know that you are the one who's going to see them through. God, I thank you for producing testimonies in this place through the trials in our lives. Lord, we give you glory for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'd love to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be prayed for, we invite you to come forward, and we'd love to spend some time with you. But God bless you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, and have a great weekend.